Are there children that would like to come up for a children's sermon? Well, good morning. Good morning. I didn't get a single good morning. Why don't you go ahead and sit down, and we'll talk for a couple minutes. Today is a day that we call Trinity Sunday. And the Trinity is kind of hard to explain, but this is a way people often try and teach people about the Trinity. Does any of you know what this is? Ever seen these before? Okay, some of you, it's the old way of making ice cubes. If you don't have an ice cube maker in your refrigerator or you don't buy it at the store, you can make ice cubes in these trays. You know, here. Want to hold an ice cube? There you go. Here, there you go. There you go. You want an ice cube? Okay. Is it kind of cold? Now, you have an ice cube in your hand, but what else do you have? Water. That ice cube is dripping on you. Ice cubes and water are the same thing, aren't they? They're just, if it's really cold, we call it ice. If it's warm, we call it water. You can put the ice, and if your hands are getting cold, you can put that back in. Okay. They're slippery, too. Right here. Good. Right there. The other thing is, if I take some of that water and I put it in here and I put it in the stove, what comes out here? Steam. Is that water? It's a form of water. It's water that is so hot it's like air. So we have when we think about water, sometimes we think about ice cubes. Sometimes we think about there's water in here, or sometimes we think about steam. They're kind of all the same thing. But we see it in different ways, right? You know, that's what the Trinity is that we, the church for many, many years has says there's only one God. But we also see Jesus. We also see Jesus prayed to his Father in heaven. And Jesus sent the Holy Spirit. And those are all part of God as well. That you have the Father who is in heaven, Jesus who is the Son, and the Holy Spirit who comes and teaches us about Jesus and the faith. And all together, they are that stuff that we call God. And that's something kind of hard to figure out. But it's the best thing that we've been figure out for over trying to understand and wrap our minds about who God is. We understand that there's only one God, but we see our one God in three different ways: Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Same way we see H2O. That's what the chemical thing is for water, as liquid water as ice and steam. So that's what we remember this day. We remember this idea of the Trinity, that it's wonderful that we have one God, but we see God in three different ways. Let's have a word of prayer. Good and gracious God, we give you thanks for the blessings of the day. We give you thanks for the gift of sunshine and family and the opportunity to spend some time this summer having fun. We give you thanks for the gift of Jesus. We give you thanks for the gift of the Holy Spirit. We give you thanks for the Trinity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, you can go back to your seats. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 28th chapter. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you to the end of the age." The Gospel of our Lord. Grace be unto you in peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, there's a lot of things about the Bible and God that we simply don't understand. You know, I love working with catechetical kids. They're so curious. I love working with you guys. There are times in which they try to stump the pastor. They come up with tough questions that they want me to try and answer. And they come up with these questions, and oftentimes, I don't have an answer. If God has been around forever, what did he do before he created the world? I don't know. If God created the whole world good, how'd the serpent get evil? Don't know. If God created Adam and Eve and they had two children, Cain and Abel, and Cain kills Abel, we're now down to three people. Cain is banished to a far-off land, and he's worried that other people might kill him. What people? I don't know. There in this far land, Cain finds a wife. Where did she come from? I don't know. A lot of things we don't simply understand. And some of the questions are more substantial. Why do bad things happen to good people? Or the corollary to that, why do good things happen to bad people? I can give you my opinion, but really, what does God say about that? We will learn, we'll find that answer for sure in the kingdom of God. You know, the Bible tells us a lot of things about God, but it does not tell us everything. In many ways, God is a mystery to us. There are things that we don't know, things that we cannot understand. There are a lot of things in the Bible on which the Bible is, a lot of things on which the Bible is silent. And we have to answer the question the best we can. And one of the things the Bible is silent about is the makeup of God. So here on earth, we had to come up with the best answer we could. And one of those answers to what is God is the Trinity. Let me go back to the very beginning. A central tenet of the Jewish faith is there is only one God. That is the defining truth for the Old Testament. And that's the building block for the faith of the Old Testament. And if you take that away, the Old Testament falls apart. In the book of Leviticus, we read, "The Lord said to Moses, saying, 'Speak to the people of Israel, saying, anyone who curses the Lord shall bear the sin. Anyone who blasphemes the name of the Lord shall be put to death, and the whole congregation shall stone the blasphemer, as well as aliens and citizens. When they blaspheme the name of God, they shall be put to death.'" Blasphemy is a human being claiming to have the power of God or to be God himself. When Jesus said, "I have the power to forgive sins," he was committing blasphemy. That was a human being saying that he could forgive sins. At his trial on Maundy Thursday, when the high priest asked Jesus if he's the Son of God, and Jesus says yes, the trial is over. Jesus, according to the Old Testament, has committed blasphemy, and the punishment for blasphemy is death. The central tenet of the Jewish faith, the central tenet to the Old Testament, is there is only one God. But then comes Jesus, and he claims to be the Son of God. He prays to the Father as in heaven, and he promises the gift of the Holy Spirit. And this understanding is shown to be true since Jesus was raised from the dead. So the Jewish faith says there's only one. For the early Christians, there seemed to be at least two, Father and the Son, and they weren't really sure what to do about the Holy Spirit. And so Christians kind of lived in this tension for almost 300 years. On one hand, there is one God, but then on the other hand, there seems to be two and a half. You see, for the first 300 years of the Christian faith is an underground religion. Early on, they were persecuted by the Jews and then by the Romans, and so Christians kind of existed in little pockets and little gatherings. They worshiped not in churches but in homes, and your congregation was big enough it was just the amount of people that you could get into a home. And you would never say, "This is a church building," because they'll come and arrest you. But finally, in 313, Christianity is no longer legal in the Roman Empire. And for the first time, Christians are able to come out and talk about their faith. And when they come out of kind of hiding, they found that they had all sorts of different explanations about how there's only one God, but there seems to be two, maybe three. There's one group that goes as far as saying, let's dump the Old Testament and simply go with three gods. By 325 AD, the understanding of the majority of the church about the makeup of God was championed by the name of Arius. Arius said this, yes, Jesus is the Son of God, but remember that question, what did God do before he created the world? The answer is he created the Son. Jesus, or the Son, was the first of all creation. He's a creation of God and not on the same level of God. And there was only a minority that believed that somehow the Father and the Son were actually both God. And in those early days, those were fighting words. Provinces went to war over their understanding about who was Jesus. So the Roman Emperor Constantine, you know, you would have thought that this would be the golden age of Christianity. It's the official religion of the Roman Empire. Instead, the Christian church is tearing itself apart with fighting about the understanding about who is God. So for the very first time, Emperor Constantine invites leaders from every Christian church in the world, or in the Roman Empire, to come to the city of Nicaea to solve that question about the relationship between the Father and the Son. They debated for weeks, and they took a vote. And actually, it was the minority opinion in the whole Christian church that won, that somehow, some way, the Son, Jesus, was the same as the Father. As a summary of what they decided, they wrote the Nicene Creed. The Nicene Creed was written in 325 AD to affirm that Jesus, that the Son of God, is the same thing as the Father. But that didn't really solve the problem. What about the Holy Spirit? Was the Holy Spirit like God, Father and Son? And how can two or three be one? That took a later council. And finally, they came up with the concept of the Trinity. There is one eternal God, but we experience that one eternal God in three ways. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And if you have any questions about the Trinity, don't ask me. I don't know the answer. The Trinity, the concept of the Trinity is a statement of how we experience God rather than trying to explain God. You know, it's kind of hard for us Christians to think that we could actually explain God. This side of heaven, the makeup of the Godhead is always going to be a mystery. And the best thing that we can do is proclaim the Trinity. Maybe, just maybe, when we get to heaven, we'll find out that we were all wrong. Perhaps we should have listened to the majority back in 325 AD. I don't think so, because the Christian church has always said the Holy Spirit moves through groups. So the meaning of the Holy Trinity is this. First of all, we acknowledge there's a whole lot of things about God we do not understand. And we will understand fully in the kingdom of God when we meet him face to face. But in this life, God will always be a mystery. And the best we can do is proclaim the Trinity. That's something that the church decided in 351 AD, and that's become one of the central truths of the Christian faith. If you're going to be a Christian, you're going to accept the Trinity. As Lutherans, we see ourselves as Christian, and we accept this mystery of things that we really can't understand. The Trinity. Amen.